coming November 20th. What happens when you take this city guy out of the city?
Nice boots.
Can't play cowboy without him, right?
Horse Sense, a new Disney Channel original movie featuring Joey and Andy Lawrence, coming November 20th.
On Disney.
You know, I'm really missing a great photo op here.
Everybody, welcome to It's On Like DCOM. It's a Disney Channel original movie podcast where our cows do moo with an accent. I'm Ryan, and with me, as always, is
Madeline. What's up?
What's up? How's it going?
Oh, you know, I got my cocktail here. I've got wine and coffee.
Wow. I thought that was like a coffee you were drinking, not wine.
I got both. I've tried wine, I've tried coffee, now I got them both. Let's see how this goes.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's a little later for you, I guess. It's, you know,
but it's 2:45.
That's good.
Yeah.
My grandma always would say that you're only an alcoholic if you drink before noon, I guess.
There you go.
So, yeah.
I remember
specifically saying that, like, coming out of, I remember staying with my grandma in Pennsylvania for it felt like months, it was a long time in the summer one time, like by myself. I remember going to church with her and coming out on Sunday morning and like walking by a bar or something. And she was just like, oh, I'm surprised they're open. You're an alcoholic if you drink before noon. And I never forgot that. I don't know.
I think it's true. I don't think there's any way, but I mean, 2:45 is fine, right? I'm fine.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem.
You're good. Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Kind of getting started pretty early, though, you know?
Well, I had a specific reason for it, which is I had a chocolate donut, and I was pairing this wine with my donut.
That's some wild combinations you got going on.
Yeah, so now we have sugar, alcohol, and coffee. So I've got uppers, downers, in-betweeners. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I just got coffee. I mean, I got it in our, we haven't talked about it, but our branded mugs that aren't available yet on the store, but maybe someday they can be.
Yeah, these are super exclusive.
Exclusives. Hit us up. I'd send you a mug, but they're exclusive right now.
They have a special quote on the back.
This is the quote of the podcast. I think it's the first thing you said in the first episode, that the world is on fire.
That's right.
By Madeline.
I always say that. And it's true.
But I should have put some ellipses off the end or whatever, because it's always just kind of like the world is on fire. Like you're about to like continuing something.
Yeah.
So
it's just a thought of many thoughts that are.
It's not quite
come.
Like a statement. It's just like, it's just sort of like, you're like running into something else. Always.
Yeah, it's a summary of where we're at, but we also have more things to do. You know, we can't just dwell on it.
It's still on fire, you know?
Yeah. And speaking of the world being on fire, Ryan, I consider us hard-hitting journalists. And okay. I got to tell you, last week we messed up big time.
We did?
Yeah.
What did we mess up?
So with? The fans brought to my attention that we looked at a picture of Candace Cameron Bure, a great picture, but we missed out on the real story, Ryan.
What's that?
So
we studied it pretty hardcore.
Well, it's another picture that caused an even bigger controversy than this one.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to call it Boob Grab Gate.
Oh, wow. Okay. So what we have is Candace and her husband. Do we ever get his name?
No.
He's just the guy that she's in pictures with.
I think his name's Chip.
Is it Chip?
Well,
Chip Bure?
He looks like a chip, don't you think?
He looks like a chip. He's kind of a... to me, they look like they're on a golf course. They kind of look like they're in golf gear, you know? Or maybe not. Like, he has sandals on, so I don't think he's golfing. But they kind of look like they just maybe went... They played some tennis at the club. And they look very happy, especially Candace. and they're standing on a bridge in a park, and Chip has his arm around Candace with a full-on reach around to not her left breast, but her right breast reached all the way around.
We want to be clear here.
Yes. Yes. Did she post this on Instagram or something?
Yes, she posted it on Instagram, and it was a huge controversy because many of her fans felt that it was inappropriate to share on Instagram.
What do you think about that?
Well, here's what I think, Ryan. Now, initially, so this is Candace Cameron's argument. This is my husband. We've been married many years. And if he's still wanting to grab my boob, then we're in a good marriage. And I said,
I think they look like they're, it seems kind of fun.
Yeah.
My opinion.
It doesn't seem non-consensual. It doesn't seem like, you know, they both look plenty happy. I'm sure it's just.
He's giving a smirk, like almost like, this, like got her boob.
Yeah. And a lot of the fans still were like, this is inappropriate. You shouldn't be posting this on Instagram. Ryan, would it change anything if I told you her teenage son took this photo? Because I was all on board. I was like, you know what? You guys
Which
are going off
on
Candace.
Which one was it? Candace. Was it the dead face one or the
that I don't know. But I got to say I was on board until I heard that part of it. And then I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, do whatever you want, but it's a little bit weird.
It's strange. It's a strange thing to post, I think.
I mean, you know? I think it's particularly strange if your child took the photo.
Then she's kind of putting off this, you know, Christian values thing. You know, I can see her followers that are all about that kind of getting weirded out by it a little bit. I don't think she should be afraid of that. I think that's kind of funny. Kind of cool.
Lean into it. Lean into it, girl. I mean, your alien husband. Yeah. Maybe that's his fourth arm, and that's why people are.
It comes out. It's like he's reaching around.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like looks like they were taking other photos in this. It's so funny because this is a Google search. You have a boob grab Candace Cameron.
And again, we're hashtagging this boob grab gate. Boob grab gate. And here Candace is saying, sorry, not sorry.
I don't think, yeah, I'm with her, I think, a little bit on it.
Yeah.
But that is a strange one with the sun.
That's the only thing that gives me pause. Everything else I'm fine with. But I just want to say a special thank you to our fans for pointing that out. We really failed to see the big picture here. So we apologize for that in the start of the episode.
Yeah, I'm surprised we missed that.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we covered that now. It's I don't know. I'm with Candace on this one. I think that it's a less creepy, weird photo than the Christmas photo. I think.
Yes, that is definitely true.
I could see that the son was maybe taking a bunch of pictures of them on that thing. Like, let's take a nice photo. And there happened to be one where there was the boob grab, and they probably all got a laugh about it. It's like, you're grabbing my boob. And
the son was like, Mom, Dad.
Yeah.
Put your fourth
arm like
away.
Her posting is to embarrass her kids in a way. But then, yeah.
Then the Twittersphere weird. Went down her throat as pre
Yeah. Well, people should lighten up a little bit.
But yeah.
It is a strange one.
You can't say anything nowadays.
If it was some weirdo, you know, on set, if it was like a weird older man or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, they seem like they're stoked. Keep it up.
Yeah, they're fine. They're doing great.
Goals, you know, whatever. Hashtag goals.
Hashtag goals. You know, whatever they're doing in their murdering of people and putting them under the porches, it's making their marriage flourish. Flourish.
Maybe if that photo was taken before the Christmas photo, their teenage son has just had that face ever since. Like he's stuck that way.
Yes.
Written the Christmas photo that ever since he took that photo and he just like lowered the camera or the phone and probably just been staring straight into, you know, the abyss ever since.
Well, now maybe he's having like an Oedipal complex ever since that photo. Or is it Electra? Which one?
Wait, what is it?
An Oedipal complex?
I don't know if I've heard that. What is that?
What? It's Freud.
Maybe I have.
Like where you want to bang your mom?
Oh, that's what that's called.
But okay. I don't remember if the Oedipal complex is for men or women.
Should we look it up?
Yeah.
I thought you said edible complex.
No, like, Oedipal. Oh, yeah. Oedipal complex definition. It's a psychoanalytic theory proposing that children have possessive sexual desires for their opposite sex parents while viewing the same sex parent as a rival, and that the complex is resolved when children overcome their incestuous and competitive emotions and begin to view their same-sex parents as...
I'm reading the same thing as you, and it just keeps like... It's like a...
It trails off.
It's like a... It trails off, and it's almost like a... like a cliffhanger of like, what is it?
I can't find the second half, so I think I've heard enough, though.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good to know. Yeah, it could be for either gender. Doesn't matter.
You know, you learn something new on it's on like DCOM, you know.
That's right.
Every week.
You're welcome.
I wanted to ask if you got a chance to watch the Framing Britney Spears documentary yet.
Damn it. No, but I want to talk about it anyway.
Okay. I said maybe we can save it, but I ended up watching that, and it's not quite related to any of this, but it, you know, just the same time period, and I feel like we were all, while these DCOMs were going on, we were following this closely, the developments of Britney Spears. I mean, we talked about Britney, I think, on an earlier episode. Remember I said I had, like, stickers from the bowling alley from her and stuff?
Yeah, we definitely have covered our girl Britney.
Yeah.
So my impressions from it are Britney, leave Britney alone, right? That's big. Like, everyone...
Free Britney, too. Yeah.
And free Britney. And people were not understanding the magnitude of the mental distress that she was experiencing during this time.
Yeah. It's kind of like, it's like a series on FX. It's on Hulu, too. But it's like a New York Times documentary series where every episode is like a different topic. And this one's specifically about Britney Spears. It's like an hour and a half long documentary. It's pretty... or 70 minutes or something. And it basically kind of follows her. It's mostly about the whole, what the hell is it called? The conservatorship that she's been under.
Yes. From her father.
Yeah. And it's, and in that whole case, it seems like that may change like the whole idea of conservatorships going forward when this kind of finally settles.
Wow.
Like, you know, it'll be like a thing where like the Spears versus, you know, whatever case will be something that's referenced, I think, in future cases in this scenario, because it's really interesting. So, but it really talked about like, it kind of takes you all the way back to the beginning a little bit with like her, someone that was like her assistant, that was like a family friend talking about her and how much of like a different person she was. And the world basically like crushed her and like killed her.
No.
And it's very sad, and it's wild, and it goes into some of the Justin stuff and like the whole thing with her hair and her kids and Kevin Federline, and it kind of just like goes through like a timeline of just like just distress that would kill, like just destroy anybody, you know?
Yeah, I mean, when you're the most famous person in the world, which she was for a period of time, I mean,
yeah. Yeah, and just like, and it, she was there for sort of like the boom of the paparazzi too. Mm-hmm. Like, was like, there's always like issues with that, but like, it was like a huge thing with like the internet starting to kind of take off, and in different ways, and you know, gossip sites and things, and it just got to like the point where like everybody knew what was going on, even like the news. Like, there's a point in the thing where they it's on CNN, where it's like Anderson Cooper talking about it, and it's. Do you remember how like Larry King was on after like later that night in CNN?
Yeah.
And so like, it's like the whole thing, usually how they do it on CNN is they like, both the anchors like talk to each other before it goes to the next show. And so it was like Larry King popping up and then Michael Moore was like, his guest was like, why don't we just leave Britney alone? Like, what the hell? Like, if we just leave her alone, she's probably would be fine. And this is years ago kind of thing. And he was totally right, you know, if they just kind of like let her sort of live her life.
Well, so. You remember the whole leave Britney alone thing, right?
Yeah.
That person was right.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone thought he was crazy. I was on his side this whole time.
Yeah. It's pretty good. And then what I kind of want, why I want to talk about it was there's a moment where it gets to the whole Free Britney thing where they, there was a podcast called, or it still is a podcast called like the Britney Spears Graham or Britney's Graham or something. And these two girls that just like follow what's going on Britney Spears' Instagram. It very much reminded of us, our stupid escapades, I suppose. But it kind of like them just like kind of breaking it down, like each little like, what does caption mean? What hidden messages are in here? And then they were the kind of ones that shepherded into the whole like Free Britney movement, and that it's not just about her herself, but just the idea of these conservative ships that are like controlling these people, and they're almost like put under like a cult-like spell, it seems like, you know?
And so is it that they found her mental state to be in such that her parents, she had to like sign over rights of things to her parents? Is that how that
yeah
works?
I guess it's sort of like she's almost like she was unstable to like handle her money and what her business dealings are going to be, and so her dad like has like full control, all that kind of stuff.
And there's no moratorium on that, like, okay, it's been 2 years now and clearly she's like, in a better place.
I'm sure there's people that know more than I do, but it kind of leaves it almost like this is what's currently happening and then it's like over, you know. And there's sort of been like steps in the trial that have been for good and stuff, but he's still part of it. And in they talk about it a little bit because he wasn't like a big deal in her life, I guess, for a while. Like both of her parents seemed like they were kind of like out of the picture.
Yeah.
Like where they like had like wanted to stay in her hometown while she went and did all this stuff. That's why they like sent an assistant with her to kind of do all this stuff with it. And it kind of seems like, and then apparently people don't like her mom, think that she's like kind of an asshole. It's really interesting. So
is it like a Macaulay Culkin situation where you feel like they just basically used her talent to get them money?
Kind of. It kind of sounds like that a little bit. Yeah. So it's pretty crazy. And I pulled up that because they mentioned Justin in it. And he just issued an apology on Instagram.
I saw that. What's that about? What is he apologizing for?
He says, because they talk about it in the thing where it basically made like all the press and like people kind of like made it out that it's all Britney's fault. Like that's why they split up. And and he even made like the music video, the Cry Me a River video.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And it's just really kind of like almost like played it up to be the good guy in the whole situation.
Right.
You know, kind of thing. And that really kind of messed her up a little bit too. So he said this, he said, "I'm deeply sorry for the times of my life where my actions contributed to the problem, where I spoke at a turn and did not speak up for what was right. I understand that I fell short in these moments and in many others and benefited from a system that condones misogyny and racism." He says, I specifically want to apologize to Britney Spears and Janet Jackson, both individually, because I care for and respect these women, and I know I have failed, as he said.
I feel like you shouldn't blanket that all into one statement, though. Like, those are two specific people that you did two specific things to. Don't just, like, lump it together. I don't know.
Yeah, like, I'm the innocent one in all this sort of situation.
I'm like, so. I'm just so sick of these apologies where you know someone wrote it
after
for
you get
them.
Out.
Yeah, you already got called out. It's like, the next time you do that, I want you to give the person $5 million. That's what I want.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. I found it interesting because I liked Britney And it's funny because a lot of people, like, I saw, like, Billy Eichner tweeting about it. Like, we were all part of that, like, that whole thing and making fun of Britney during her breakdowns and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. you can't act like you were the big one at the time, you know?
Oh, I was like, always on her side. I got to let you know, Ryan.
I always just kind of, like, weirded out, like, oh, geez, what, like, I'm, like, it just kind of felt bad. But I definitely wasn't, like, I was probably also being an asshole about it, I'm guessing. I can't remember exactly.
Well, I remember everyone really grilled that "Leave Britney Alone" guy.
Yeah. That was probably like 15 years ago. That was probably so long ago, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Well, and there was like, so she shaved her head, and then there was the point where she was like driving with her kids on her lap in her car, and everyone was following every single thing.
That.
Like, how can they, you know, how can a person have their life under that much scrutiny and not, you know, go off the rails a little bit? That's what happens.
Yeah. She talked. They were saying that like she shaved her head because she was just like wanting to be left alone. It's like, I just want to be like I don't want people to touch me.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to get away from me. She was just kind of like, maybe if I just look like this, people won't want to take pictures of me. And just, it was just like spiraling, you know?
Well, I mean, it makes total sense because like here, I'm going to get rid of my signature blonde hair. Like, please leave me alone. I mean, well, I just want the record to show Ryan and I are aggressively free Britney. We're on the forefront of this movement.
And if I ever was an asshole in the past about it, I'm going to apologize to Britney too. So if I had the $5 million, like you said, I would give it to her, you know.
We're going to need an official apology on our Facebook account.
Yeah, that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's worth checking out, I think. And that little doc. And I think I really got a kick out of it when the two podcasters show up toward the end. It's really cool. So
I'm excited to check it out. I'll have to watch it. And if there's any more thoughts or theories,
I'm sure we'll hear more of her story and stuff in the future. But she's sort of like in this weird, it almost seems like Get Out or something. Like she's in this like sunken place.
Yeah.
Like how she acts now and stuff like that. Like she's like just totally, just like in a prison in her own body kind of thing. It's really, really crazy.
Well, so. I just, when you get famous that young and you're this person that everyone is looking at and you don't get to live an actual childhood, it never goes well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't think of anyone it went well for.
Yeah, it's wild because they talk about a lot of people like when she first started and they said like how like in control she was and how she sort of like she always had the reputation of like, oh, they're just doing, you know, having her do this, having her do that. But she had a lot to do with like her ideas for her costumes and her sets and her music videos and how she wanted to be like presented. And eventually that just kind of like just got locked up. It's really interesting. So. So, yeah, free Britney hashtag.
Free Britney. Ryan, we're going to have to start off the top with a gripe that I already have.
What's that?
Which is, why is this movie called Horse Sense? Let's workshop some better names.
Horse Sense.
That's not a phrase. That's nothing. It doesn't sound like anything.
Yeah, I'm trying. The S-E at the end of both of them kind of look... They have the same number of letters in the words.
Okay.
End with SC, so it kind of looks nice.
Sure.
When you kind of put them next to each other. Yeah, I don't know.
It's nothing. It's not a phrase. It's not good or clever. Here's what the movie should be called. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Whoa! Hold your horses.
Whoa!
Whoa!
You like hold it? Your horses.
Yeah, it's called Whoa, comma, hold your horses. You like that?
I think that's perfect. I like that.
Yeah.
I think no notes.
No notes. That's it. And speaking of his signature catchphrase, are you familiar with the Whoa?
Yeah, you're talking about Joey Lawrence.
They didn't say it in the movie. I thought they would for sure.
It was kind of like a whoa, like a, you know, whoa, 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 but not like the whoa.
Yeah, I mean, there was a perfect opportunity for it. And I was looking into it because I was like, why don't they use it? And it's not copyrighted, but Joey Lawrence said he wish he would have written. He wish he would have had it copyrighted, written, wrote. but he didn't. So I don't know why they didn't use it, but I do want to show you. I was like curious, like, what is this whoa thing all about? And so I have a video to share with you if you want.
Yeah, let's see it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so it's like Joey Lawrence was like a teen idol, basically, right?
Yeah.
In like the early 90s or is it late 80s or when was it?
Ooh, it looks very 80s to me because I think Brotherly Love was like early 2000s.
It says 95 for Brotherly Love. It started.
Okay, so I'm totally off. I just say things without knowing anything.
When was Blossom? Blossom started in 1990 to like 95.
Okay.
Or 91.
So it was like shortly after then.
Yeah, I guess that was like his first spinoff thing. So, yeah, and the, probably the one of the main reasons why we went to Horse Sense was, you know, we were talking about the Camerons last time, and you were like, let's continue the with the sibling, what'd you call it?
Sibling dynasties. Sibling dynasties, sibling royalty. This is really important part of the DCOMs, as we know.
Whoa, I'm still dead.
Whoa, a chick.
Whoa, you mean Pinhead Fred? Whoa, a jacuzzi. Whoa, hold it, the band.
Whoa, Casanova.
Whoa, you played for strippers?
Whoa. Talking tale from the crypt.
Whoa, 7 condoms a day, all right? Whoa, this is amazing.
Wait, okay. Whoa, he's just doing a Travolta.
Whoa. Yeah, it's very much like Travolta. Is that funny to you at all?
Whoa, wait a second.
I think it's kind of funny. I don't know. Is that...
It's funny.
Not to you.
Well, it's funny because of his face and his hair. And
yeah, he has like a good.
He
does it really funny. Like every time you're like not expecting. But I mean, I've never seen Blossom ever. Like I never. It was never. I feel like it wasn't repeated as often as other shows.
Yeah, I'd never seen it anywhere. But I was like, okay, this got him really famous for whatever reason.
Yeah, the show didn't catch on as much as like Full House did. It's around the same time. This is 5 minutes long of just woes,
yeah,
and it's the best of Blossom. Whoa. So this is just not, this isn't every woe. This is just the best of the woes.
Yeah. It's one of those things where on a sitcom, they would have a catchphrase and you just are supposed to laugh every time you hear it. Is it funny though? I don't know. Whoa.
Blossom isn't even in any of these. Where the hell is Blossom?
What is Blossom? I thought that was just the name of the show.
That's Blossom.
Oh, it's a person's name. That's news.
See,
to me.
What's her? She's Mayim Bialik. She's like the Sheldon's girlfriend on Big Bang Theory.
One of Ryan's favorite shows.
Oh yeah, one of my favorites. So this show went for a long time. Like, look how young they are, and then like they kind of wow. I don't know nothing about fucking Blossom, but it must have been something.
I mean, what I know is whoa.
But I, for a while, thought that was Travolta's thing.
No, that's all. That's a Joey Lawrence original.
It's up your, that's what it is. Up your nose with the rubber hose. That was his catchphrase, not whoa. I feel like Blossom was a little bit before our time. So we know them from Brotherly Love and probably these Disney movies, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah. And I most know Matthew Lawrence from Boy Meets World. That's my, like, where they come together for me the most.
And he's not in this movie. It's his youngest brother,
Andrew.
He
has a cameo, though. Did you notice his cameo?
No, where was that?
There's a point where he walks by and Joey Lawrence is wearing the Gucci cowboy boots and he kind of, like, gives him a look and, like, winks at him.
I must have missed that.
Yeah, it's the best.
Maybe that's when I was putting my face in some bacon when I was eating.
That's the best part. And he looks good. He looks like a snack. Matthew Lawrence, not Joey, to be clear.
I missed that.
But yeah, I just thought we needed to cover Whoa because that's like his most known thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, and so tell me if this happened to you too. When Horse Sense started... If you were to ask me what happens in Horse Sense, I would have no godly idea. Like, none.
Like, before you watched it.
Yeah, none whatsoever. But then, as soon as the music started playing, I was like, okay, I've seen this 5,000 times. Now that it's happening, I know every word.
Yeah, it was similar to me, too. Like, it was, like, right before stuff was happening on screen, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember what happens. Oh, yeah, I remember what happens.
Yeah. But not before. Like, if you were to say, like, Ryan, what's the plot of Horse Sense? I would be like, I assume there's a horse in it somewhere. That's it.
I remember it was, like, the city boy goes to the ranch and, like, learns a lesson. I did remember that.
But, like, I didn't remember why or, like, what, yeah. Like, why he was there or anything. But, yeah.
That's a huge trope. Like, the whole, and then it's, like, turns out that the ranch is getting taken by the bank and... and we need to save it kind of thing. Like, I feel like that's in like 100 movies. Like, I know I'm thinking of the How the West Was Fun, you know,
Mary
Kate and Ashley movie.
Yeah.
There's also like a Native American ranch hand in that too. You know, it's all the same. All these movies are really similar. But I would say, just to get out of the way, I think Horse Sense is good.
I think it's too.
Nice. I think it's
I do too. I don't know.
I think
why.
It's a real movie. I think it's like, it feels like, I mean, there's a little bit of, you know, some stupid stuff, but it feels like a pretty complete movie, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's like one of the best things I can give to a DCOM, you know? Like it
it feels like it has a sense, a purpose, a horse sense.
Horse sense.
If you will.
Yeah.
If I may be so bold. But yeah, like, I liked it too, and I'm not really sure why. But yeah, I think it establishes the characters really well. It has a good concept, I think.
I think it's acted well, mm-hmm. like, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of nicely shot for one of these, I feel like. Like, it feels like a real movie. Like, it feels like it could have been, like, a movie in theaters, like a kid, like a family movie.
Mm-hmm. Or like a Kurt Cameron movie.
Yeah. It could have that kind of vibe, too. I mean, definitely, like, feelies, you know, values sort of Christian thing slightly. Like, there's one line where they're like, God's painting on the, with the sunset that they're looking at kind of thing. But I think it's not bad. I think I like it.
Yeah.
I think I liked it more than I expected to. I thought it was going to be like a slog, but I liked it.
I would agree. I think I ended up liking it more than I thought it would. And I think a lot of why it's good is I love the little Andrew Lawrence in this movie. I think he does a really good job of being like kind of, he's a sweet kid at first, and then he's kind of like a trickster.
He's kind of a little stinker.
And then then he has that dramatic moment with the clubhouse at the end. And I was like, oh man, that got me in my feels a little bit.
Yeah, he has like a little bit of like a Charles Foster Kane moment, and he's like just breaking down the whole treehouse.
Yeah.
You know? I wish they played into that whole a little bit more. They didn't want to get too much into dad death situation, I feel like a little bit.
Yeah. But. Another hashtag dead dad situation.
Yeah.
What is the deal?
It's a Disney thing, you know? They got to have some sort of dead parents.
Did Walt Disney lose his parents at a young age? Is that why he insists on making every single, because, you know, he had the hand in the DCOMs, as we know.
Yeah, you're sure.
From the grave.
His ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. I watched there was a Walt Disney movie called like Finding Mickey or something I watched at my parents' house like 2 years ago, I think, during Christmas. Fucking awful. Like, terrible movie.
Isn't there one where Tom Hanks plays him too?
Yeah, that one's the Mary Poppins one. I can't remember the name of that one. But I haven't seen that one, actually. This one was like more of like, it felt like a made-for-TV movie, like Redbox movie. But yeah, I kind of liked this movie. I was at first, I was like, oh man. And then I kind of got into it. Like, I thought, like, even like this, not all of them, but some of them, even the side characters are kind of fully realized in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. I think, so let's start kind of with a little summary of what's going on here.
Yeah.
We've got Joey Lawrence, who wakes up at noon every day. He's your classic LA guy. He's got to have his green juice in the morning.
Yes, great. That was something I wanted to bring up. One of my notes. The movie kind of starts first showing you sort of the country where his little cousin that's played by his brother lives, and they're making like breakfast with fucking bacon and sausage and eggs and pancakes, this huge country breakfast, and the juxtaposition of the grass juice being made in LA. You know, that was like art right there. That's hashtag art.
Hashtag art. So LA, man. I mean, it does give you a good picture of like these two lives, you know, in a very simple way.
Yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so he's your average LA guy. He's super rich. He's clearly very privileged, lives in a huge house.
He wears the sweater around his neck.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that ever like, what was that? Has to be not a real thing.
Did do that though.
Well, why?
I don't
understand.
I mean,
why
I think it looked cool. I don't know.
I mean, it's in all the movies. Is like this, but this movie it came out in 99. That feels like it's way too late for that, isn't it?
It's just a thing that means this character's rich. It's yeah. So in a movie you can identify if a character's rich or not, I think.
Mm-hmm. We couldn't tell from like the giant house and the housekeeper making the juice in the morning.
Yes, for him, the problematic nature of the housekeeper.
She's great though.
She is so good in it, but I hate that every character is some kind of like helping hand that is of a different minority.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's just freaking 90s shit.
It's an unfortunate though, she disappears though for a while.
Yeah, she is great. She was gonna be one of my nicey-nicies. I really like her a lot. And my favorite thing with her, Tommy, who is the young Lawrence, he's just lost his father, and him and his mom are on the brink of losing their ranch. Mom is going to go and do some stuff with banks, I guess. And so Tommy is sent to stay with cousin, who is
Joey Lawrence. Like a vacation. It seems like they kind of want him to get him to, you know, I don't know, get out of there for a little while. And he seemed like he was excited to go on a little trip because him and his cousin, they hung out at a family reunion kind of thing. And so he's just like, oh, you get to go stay for 2 weeks in LA and go to Disneyland and shit. Sounds great, you know?
Yeah. But unfortunately, it doesn't go that way, does it, Ryan?
It doesn't.
No, it's actually very sad to watch.
It is, yeah.
Joey Lawrence is just too busy for little bro, little cousin.
This is getting off the track a little bit, but have you ever had a cousin come stay for like a long period of time at your, like with you or anything like that? Or like that was maybe a little strange?
Not really. No. Has that happened to you? I'm guessing.
It was reminding me of this one time where, it's like my third cousin. I guess it'd be like my mom's niece's kid came to stay and was just asked like, hey, he wants to get out of Pennsylvania. He's like a little he's younger. Like he was younger than me and JoJo. Like a lot. Like he was more like, he was like not even like 13. He might've been like 13 or 14. And we were in our 20s at this point.
Mm.
And he's like, he wants to come to Arizona and just like visit for a little while and just kind of like get out of Pennsylvania for the summer kind of thing. And it was one of those things where there wasn't like a date set for like when he leaves.
Oh.
And also, like, we're older, like, we're all at jobs and we're not even, like, at home too often. And it was, like, he stayed and just wanted to play, like, Xbox in our room for 2 months straight. Like, and my mom, they're just like, he don't know what to do with this kid. And he actually looked a lot like little Andrew Lawrence. And it was reminding me a lot, like, of that whole situation of him just watching tapes at his... at his house, but he was actually enjoying it apparently, but it was always like a weird situation where we had this like random family member we don't really know hanging out at our house for way too long.
Ryan, I can't believe you horse sensed that kid.
We horse sensed that kid a little bit.
He came to hang out with his best cousin, Ryan, who he met at the family reunion. He wanted you to take him to Castles and Coasters. And you were too busy with your hot girlfriend. We did do some things, but
it's true. Yeah, you're right. It was 100% all that.
It's fucked up, Ryan.
He didn't want to do anything. Every time we would ask if he wants to do something, this kid would just want to, no, I want to play Call of Duty with my friends on, you know, Xbox.
That's probably what Joey Lawrence said.
Yeah.
Can't believe you did this, Ryan.
He totally did. Probably was all hanging out with, you know, you're right. I have no time for this kid.
You're going to need another public apology now to your cousin.
I want to apologize to my third or fourth cousin. And, you know, just let you know, I'm sorry. Hopefully it wasn't a bad experience. I remember we took you to Whataburger one time.
Oh, you took him to Whataburger? Oh, my God. This poor kid. I just wanted to hang out with my cousin, Rye. He's too busy.
You're like over 10 years older than this guy. Yeah, but you're right. Yeah, you're right. It could have been a different scenario, but all this was having flashbacks for me. And maybe that's why I connected to the movie so much.
I think that might be it.
Anyway, yeah. So It's a point where he's like drops the kid off at like a little daycare, like a little like balls in the pit kind of place, and just leaves him there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he clearly doesn't know like what ages that place is for. Everyone's like a little toddler. But it's really, that first part of the movie is probably my favorite part. I don't know why, but it's just really sad. And like you said, the kid's just watching all these tapes on this fancy VCR, because I guess VCRs were fancy back then. And he's just heartbroken that his cousin keeps telling him he's going to take him to Disneyland and he never does, just like Ryan's cousin.
I know. He's just like, can we go on Space Mountain and Indiana Jones ride first and stuff? And he's just like, oh yeah. And then he just drops him off at this ball pit. It was sad.
Yeah. And he's just like the super self-absorbed jerk, like the whole Most of the movie, actually, he's just a self-absorbed jerk who doesn't care about anything except his Prada shoes and his hot girlfriend and
going to Europe and stuff. And
yeah,
he did learn something in his class, though. He didn't realize he learned something, but he did. That was kind of weird. That was kind of a random thing, like where they like realize like, oh, what if he actually learned something in that school he had, you know? Like, we didn't learn what the class was until the very end when he's just like, oh, I know a little bit about real estate law.
Yeah, and I got some things to say about that when we get to that part.
Okay. But
just so you know.
But speaking of that, something that was really kind of cool was when he's saying, hey, what do you want to watch on the TV? And he turned it on. It was Brink playing on the TV.
Oh, yeah, I wrote that down. That was great, yeah, right?
That was great. Yeah, I was like, there it is.
It's our favorite movie. I mean, that's a fun nod. Good job, Horse Sense. And that was good. Speaking of when he's at the house, Ryan, did you notice who Daddy, or should I say Zaddy, was played by?
No, that was not Zaddy.
Yes, it was. That was Zaddy.
Oh my God. No way. How did I not see that?
I don't know.
Are you sure?
You think I don't know my Zaddy, right? That was Calabar himself. Look it up if you have to.
What's the actor's name? Do you remember?
Calabar. I have no idea.
Is it Glenn Woods? Is that maybe it?
That sounds exactly right.
Or Robin Thomas, the actor? Let's see if this is Calabar. Because he looks, I know you're right. He did look like him.
It is him. Calabar.
You're right. That was him.
I told you.
Oh my God. I did not even know. There's a lot of people that pop up. A lot of the dads in this.
Yeah. Well, you got to admit, Ryan, he looks pretty good. And there is that.
I like him better with the big cape and stuff.
And his curlies. Yeah, I can see that too. But remember when he like disciplined Joey Lawrence and was like, son, you better think about what you've done. That part was good. Just saying.
The cops come to the door and he's just like, yeah, he's my son.
Yeah. Loved it. Man, there are a lot of hot parents in this movie. Can we just say that?
Well, we got, yeah, I mean, if we're skipping to nicey-niceys, let's go with little Tommy's mom and that red getup she's wearing on the horse.
Oh, yeah. She's a babe.
Swing indeed. I was just like, Tommy's mom in that red blouse, get up on that horse. Ooh, hoochie mama.
Yeah, she looks nicey, good. Nicey. And then not only that, but also Joey's mom is hot. Also, I thought she's a babe. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I don't know what Andrew Lawrence's dead dad looks like, but from the pictures, I should not say Andrew Lawrence. I should say Tommy, the fictional character.
Well, you're not with Joey has a lot of like his guns out a lot of this movie.
I'm not into Joey. I got to tell you. No.
He has a huge head and a small body, but like big arms. Like he looks kind of funny.
I can't pinpoint what it is that I don't like about him. Can we skip a little bit and can I show you something?
Sure. Let's go ahead.
So the whole movie, like, I don't dislike him in a way that I dislike Kirk Cameron, but there is something that's just like a little bit like, oh, I don't know how I feel about you.
I agree. I feel like him in this, though, he has range, though, in this.
Yeah.
I feel like him, like, is he's kind of like a, you know, definitely like a slime ball in the beginning, but you kind of warm up to him, I feel like. And I don't think he's as stiff and like an alien as Kirk is.
No, not at all. I think if anything, like, he has one gimmick that he kind of does all the time, but I don't hate him. I don't hate him like I do Kirk Cameron.
Yeah, the other actors that are in this, there's lots of people. There's Donnie Darko's dad in this. Mm-hmm. He's like the banker. And he's also in That Thing You Do. What's that actor's? Holmes Osborne. He's in this movie. Two of the ranch hands we meet Twister and Mule. And Twister is played by MC Gainey. And I think that's how you say his name. He's in like Con Air, and I knew him straight away. I was like, "That's the guy, one of the others from Lost." He's like he's on Lost as like Tom Friendly was his name. Friendly.
He looked very familiar to me, but I wasn't sure why.
He's an actor that's popped up as like one, like a guy in something, like all over the place, like lots of little movie roles, or like maybe he's like a guy in a bar. In like a movie or something, or a TV show. But I think Lost might be one of his biggest roles, where he's like a kind of a regular other in the show that kind of terrorizes people. He's the guy that steals Walt. I don't know if you watched
Lost.
But do you remember, like, we're taking the boy?
Sure.
Like when they're on the boat, that's him. Uh-huh. So yeah, we're going to have to take the boy, which is like the scariest line. It's the end of the first season. Spoiler alert for Lost, the greatest show of all time. But yeah, he's in this.
That was a distinct eye roll.
You did the biggest eye roll of all time. That like it hit me in the face over Zoom. The eye roll he just did.
Sorry.
Anyway, he's in the movie, and those guys have little to do, but they're nice, you know, color in the movie, you know, so it's cool. So
yeah, I like Twister. He was pretty good. He was just the one who was always like, get off your ass, city boy.
Make this fence. Yeah.
Yeah, shovel that shit. That was his whole thing.
Yeah. There's the thing. So basically, Joey ends up getting in trouble because he's a big asshole at home. And his parents are like, you're going to go spend a month with your aunt on this ranch.
And he gets in trouble for not hanging out with Tommy enough.
Doesn't hang out with Tommy.
For ignoring him, yeah.
Ignoring him. He also wrecks his car and, you know, kind of does a hit and run sort of situation. And his parents are like, you need to learn some real responsibility.
It's Zaddy Calabar, and he says it a lot. He says it like really hot. He's like, you need to learn a lesson, right? It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, and so he spends like a month kind of learning the ways of the ranch. And first he's kind of like, you know, lazy about it, or just like always talking to his girlfriend at home, and causes a stampede and doesn't know how to shovel shit right. And he ends up coming around and loving the life.
Yeah.
And helps them get their farm back, or their ranch keeping kind of thing. So,
yeah. And
that's
kind of
the gist.
So the beginning of when he's on the ranch is Tommy is trying to get him back, essentially, because he ignored him. He didn't take him to Disneyland. He was really mean to him. So he keeps trying to trick him. Not even trick, but just not tell him everything.
He does the same bit twice, which kind of annoyed me.
Three times.
Bit.
I wrote it down. He did it three times. And by the third time, I was like, this is stupid. Don't stop doing this. It's taking up way too much of the movie.
Well, he does it like the whole thing where like, he doesn't tell him that he's going to wake him up or in the morning. So he shows him like the TV. He's like, you can watch it for as long as you want. And then the second time is when he's like, you need to move this shit over here, and doesn't tell him there's a tractor to move the shit. And he does it by hand, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third time is the same bit as the tractor,
yeah.
Basically, where he's just like, all right, put these fence posts in the truck, and there's an old ass truck that he puts them in, and he's like, oh no, the truck over there is the one that works. When it's like, that's the same exact thing as the tractor or the shit, basically.
That's the one that pissed me off. And yeah, I wrote it down. I was like, stop. We've done this three times now. Yeah. I mean, I think the shit, like, that was the perfect one to end on. Because, you know, shit,
yeah.
Pole's not going to be better than shit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He should have known that truck looked like it was pretty rusted out. You know, I guess he's putting the fence posts in, too.
He's a city boy.
A little city boy.
He doesn't know it. He doesn't
know. He kind of came in with his Italian leather boots and his fancy cell phone. You know,
and he looks so stupid.
Yeah, he does.
Like a whole outfit, and then he's just like immediate. As soon as you see the pile of poopy, you're like, Joey Lawrence is going in that pile of poopy in this outfit he's got on.
I bet though those boots he had, I bet he broke them in real nice now. I bet they're nice mm-hmm. now. Those boots he had.
Yeah.
They probably were too stiff and shiny before, and now they probably look real rad, I think, you know?
And they got vintage poopy on them.
Yeah, that's how you know they're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at one there's another point in the movie where of course another trope is that, like, of course, the family's in danger of losing the farm or the ranch, you know. Kind of thing. It's one of the things in all these where since the husband died, they've never been able to recover from, like, the recession that hasn't yet happened in real life, I guess.
Yeah, what the hell? You don't think hot ass Jules can figure out how to run a farm by herself without her dead husband? I'm gonna call bullshit on that one.
Right, yeah. Well, I guess they're a cattle ranch, so they're selling cattle. Is the idea.
Well, I was looking up to see if this was around mad cow disease, because I was like, okay, that would make sense.
Ooh,
why no one wants the farm anymore.
Yeah.
Because all the cows went mad. But it wasn't. So.
And they have all the horses. This was kind of a weird moment. This is the fourth time where Joey and Matt, or Andrew and Joey, are mixing up the brothers. Where he's just like, hey, you want to ride Slingshot? And he's like, no, I want to ride that one. I'm not going to tell you, though, that it's a bunkin' bronco, you know, kind of thing. And he just calls the horse Black, which I found strange.
Sometimes we call him Black. And he's like, what are you calling it when you're not calling him Black? Wait, what was it?
It was Lightning. Black Lightning.
Wouldn't it have been better if that horse was called Slingshot? Because he, like, shoots him off? Wouldn't that made way more sense?
It made so much more sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
But yeah, they wanted it because he's evil. He's Black, I guess, or something. It was weird. It was a weird, just kind of touchy dialogue, I felt like, there.
Yeah.
Like, he could have killed him. He could have, like, that's how Christopher Reeve went paralyzed, was falling off a horse. So.
Yeah. That little Tommy.
He's a little bit of an ass. And I felt he deserved some payback,
mm-hmm.
but. He wasn't gonna die watching VHS's at his big rich house, having that nice housekeeper taking care of him. That she was such a sweetheart, you know.
And he was cute to her too. He was
it looked like a steak or something like that. He made her at one point.
That was sweet. That was when they were back in LA. The housekeeper Arlene, I believe.
And yeah, I think that was it. Yeah,
Tommy were hanging out. It was really cute.
And then. Yeah, and so he deserved, but he could have killed him putting him on that horse.
Yeah, and I think he felt bad about it. It seemed like, and not only that, but he throws him off into the bull's cage, who was like ready to trample him too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pretty messed up.
But yeah, he starts to become a little bit of a stinker. And then at one point, Joey starts to come around and realize like what's going on and how he wants to help them with the farm. And there's a point where, you know, you see there's an unfinished treehouse that's kind of a run-on throughout the movie that little Tommy likes to build it himself because him and his dad never finished it. And so Joey, being a nice guy, decides, like, I'm going to help him finish this treehouse, and he ends up freaking out.
Yeah, he's, like, crying. He's like, that was me and my dad's treehouse. Don't touch it.
Yeah, and he kind of busts it up. That was pretty good. It's definitely his, you know, dealing with this kid's trauma of his dead dad, you know, this treehouse. Pretty deep stuff for these, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know?
That was one of my favorite parts. But it kind of, you know, go ahead.
You know what we haven't talked about? That little Andrew Lawrence was TJ on Recess. The voice of TJ.
I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now that's a show. Let's watch that. That's a good show.
Yeah. We should watch the movie. Yeah. I never seen it. The little Disney movie that came out.
Well, I would be up for that. All right. Yeah. That's our next episode. But anyway.
Well, what were you saying?
I was going to say, here's my biggest issue. I feel like Joey Lawrence goes from, I'm a complete Los Angeles asshole. I drink green juice. I only have a hot girlfriend. I don't give a shit about anyone. To suddenly like, I'm going to save the farm. And I don't see like the progression to where the moment came where he became a good person. I feel like, so just because he learned that they're going to lose the farm, now he suddenly gives a shit. I just, that was to me the biggest issue.
Yeah, there's kind of like there's like one beat missing maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, he kind of starts to like it. Like he likes waking up. He likes the fixing the fence. This is like before I think he learns about them losing the farm kind of thing.
Yeah, it just seems like he has way too much compassion all of a sudden. Like, yeah, you need to show us that he's not a complete asshole maybe when we're in LA. Because he was kind of a monster the whole time. And then suddenly he's just this really good person who wants to help them get the farm back and not go with his girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah, I guess you're right. There's not really like a little bit of a save the cat moment is what they would call that.
Yes, 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 yes.
You got to have the character, even though he's going to be a total asshole, he's got to save the cat in the beginning of the movie so you can, like him for something, so for some reason.
Exactly. Exactly, yes. That was kind of my main issue. And then I feel like we've covered most of it. So can I get to my third issue other than the name of the movie? So at the end, they decide they're going to do an auction to get rid of everything from the farm to make a little bit of money. They've already established that they're getting rid of the farm. They won't take money from anyone.
And proud people.
Proud people, these farmers. Yeah. So Joey suddenly has it dawn on him, this thing that he learned in class about land trusts. And here's how that conversation goes, okay? You be the man at the bank. I'm going to be Joey.
Okay. Okay.
Hello, sir. I've got a proposition for you.
What's the proposition?
Have you ever heard of land trusts?
Land trusts? I don't think I've heard of that.
Yeah, I learned about it in my class that I wasn't really paying attention in. But
what class?
It'll make
class.
Yeah, class.
You a college boy or something?
Yeah, I live in LA and I drink green juice. So I know a thing or two about land trusts.
Well, tell me about these land trusts.
I don't know, really. But it's going to save you money. It's going to save me money. Just say yes, because I'm from LA.
You're right. Let's do it. Let's do this.
All right. Now Joey's on a horse. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum. Joey saves day with land trust.
Land trust. That's what should be the name of the movie. Something.
It should be. It's just so it's so stupid that he just like runs over to the bank in the middle of the thing. And it's
during the auction when they're already, getting rid of stuff.
Yeah. And it's like, wouldn't the bank have thought of that? The people that know shit about anything.
Well, we're talking about this. There's something I wanted to bring up. I mean, I don't know much about real estate laws and land trusts and all that stuff, but it seemed to me that my nicey-nicey, the mom, was ready to close the ranch up.
Yeah.
In my opinion. I feel like that was her treehouse. She was ready to get rid of it. Let's wipe this out. I got my dead husband, and I need to kind of wipe myself clean. And that, to me, it felt like she was like, I don't want to own this anymore. And I want out of here, kind of thing. And Joey's like, no, you can't close it up. I need to help you.
Oh, yeah. It was very like white male savior of him to like run in and be like, stop the auction. I fixed this for you, woman. Don't worry. Like that. And that's exactly what it felt like. Yeah, you're right.
To me, there's a moment where he, before that, he basically sells his car. He sells off some stuff from his trust. And that's when we see Even Stevens' dad. He's working at the, or was his trust? I guess it would have been his, his father's money, whatever. Like he was like, I'm going to sign away some of these to get some money to give it to them to pay their debts at the farm. gives her a check. We don't see how much it's for. And she's like, oh no, I can't take this. You know, like, this is your money, blah, blah, blah. I think just ready to close the book on this. And to me, it felt like she was, yeah, I'm done with this chapter of my life. I need to do this to forget my, or to, you know, this reminds me too much of my dead husband. And he just like, and she seems so upset when she realized this whole land trust thing is going down. He's like, I guess this is what we're doing. My son's going to like this. So.
And he's like, I saved you. And then like every day she's just miserable. Just like sobbing into the hay. Like, why? I just wanted to buy a new house and be a waitress.
Yeah, I just wanted to sell my all this fucking antique bullshit I have and get out of here.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe this movie...
It's still on, though.
No, it is. It is. You're right. Like, that is definitely, like... There's never a point where she's like, I need to save the farm. She seems like in a point where she's, like, content with it.
Right.
In my opinion.
And it's just like, this whole, like, I know more than you. I'm smarter than you. I'm from L.A. Let me save you. It's totally the, like, white savior thing. The white male savior.
And you know, of course, little Andrew's upset. He's going to be upset. You know, this is what he knows.
Yeah.
But he, you know, he's a kid. He'll eventually, you know, this will be something that will affect him. But eventually he'll have to learn to deal with it. You know, it's part of life, is moving on, you know. But, yeah, Joey doesn't seem to get that. Like, that would have been a good little twist, I feel like, wouldn't it? Like, if she would, it wouldn't have been happy ending, really. It'd been more of like a bittersweet thing.
It could have been new beginnings ending, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that could be a happy ending.
Like, maybe she could be like, no, this is what I want. I need to forget, like, move on from my husband and stuff.
Yeah, that's not Disney, though.
It's not, yeah.
No, we can't do that.
If it was a real movie, I mean... I want to desecrate it. Yeah.
Are you saying real? Put that in quotes, please.
A real quote unquote movie. That would have been like the more realistic ending, mm-hmm. in a type of thing. And it's been a bittersweet thing and another lesson to learn, you know, about like moving on, you know. Instead, it's about horse sense.
Now, Ryan, do you think that Joey Lawrence is going to stay a country nice man, or do you think he's gonna see a nice blonde girl and just go right back to the Alps?
I don't know. He seems like he's liking it a lot. I don't know. He seemed pretty lost and just wrapped up in like the whole rich kind of thing. I don't know.
I think Daddy's gonna buy him another Porsche, and he's right back to
yeah,
right back where he was.
There was something funny about, I mean, this is getting back to the land thing, but like, he's like, you won't own the land anymore, but the bank will pay you to work on it kind of thing. And I was kind of like thinking, I'm like, isn't like owning land like the most valuable thing you could have in this country? Like, it's like, I don't, like, there's nothing more valuable than owning some land. And it was like, to me, it just sounded like weird and like, I don't know, capitalist or something. Like, it was like, I don't know exactly, but it just was like this weird line.
Yeah, it was very strange. And then when they were like, these horses were lucky all along,
there was that whole scene. Yeah, so he before this whole thing happens with the auction, he does go back to LA for a little bit, and he's back at the horse racing. And there was kind of an artful editing thing where he was watching the horses race and remembering the wild horses running in the fields and stuff. And I'm like, you know, I usually do this in these movies. I kind of like that, you know?
Yeah, I do too.
And little Tommy races to give him the whistle he made for him in the beginning of the movie. And while he's driving to the airport. And I'm like, this is cool. This is really well done. I felt like.
I thought so too. And with the horse thing, so remember when he's doing the thing where he's like naming all the horses and talking about how the horses are lucky and da da da.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is they almost use that to justify like Joey is a good person now because he knows the names of the horses. I don't see how those things correlate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if Mussolini was like, that horse is James, and that horse is Bob, like,
and Walter.
I don't think Spot. We would be like, oh damn, what a change of heart you've had, sir.
Yeah, it's wrapped up a little too nicely.
Oh yeah, for sure. I wrote that down.
Yeah,
it's a little too.
It's probably that last beat, that last bit. And I think it works throughout. I think the good middle chunk of the movie kind of works, other than, you know, a few too many times of Tommy being a little stinker, I think.
Yeah, that was super repetitive.
Yeah. But it worked. And I thought there's some good moments. And I think, like, for one of these movies, it looked really nice. Like, some great shots. It made me, like, I don't know, want to go on a horse and stuff. Like a gosh dang horse.
I want to go on a horse so bad, and I want to name horses.
You ever ride a horse?
Yeah. That's something I wanted to ask you. I wanted to ask riding.
I wanted to ask if you this is not degrading or anything, or I don't even mean, but you seem like you were a horse girl.
What the fuck is that supposed to mean? I was not a horse girl, but I did go horseback riding a few times, and I definitely liked it a lot and would want to continue doing that in the future. But I never was someone who was like, oh, I really like this type of animal.
Like, you never had, like, the little, like, horse figures on your shelf or anything like that?
No, that was not my thing, I gotta say. No, I was more into Pogs and Pokemon cards.
Those Pokemon were your horses, like Ponyta and Rapidash. Exactly. Were your horses that you liked. Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly right. But yeah, I think we all just.
One time
to go
dated
back
a horse girl one time in like around 16, 17.
Tell me more.
To the Dollar Theater. I think her name was Stephanie. I think. Yeah. Went on a couple dates.
And was she just like, let me show you my horse collection, Ryan?
She just was like someone that worked on a farm or a ranch, you know? And she would had like a, I think she was just way into horses. Yeah.
And like, did she wear it on her shirts?
No. I mean, I only really saw her too much with at the Dollar Theater. Only saw her a couple times outside of the Dollar Theater. But it was only a couple dates kind of thing.
Because she was a horse girl.
No, she was nice. It just, you know, I don't think she cared about like yellow card or some shit like that.
She doesn't like yellow card. She only likes horses. No thanks. Oh my.
That's what I was into at the time was yellow card.
I didn't know you were so dedicated to yellow card.
I don't know. I was just thinking of what was in my car when we were driving around. It was yellow card CD.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if she didn't like yellow card, you gotta dump her. Can't be seen with someone who doesn't like yellow card. But yeah, I think we all just need to get back out to the country life, you know?
Yeah.
That's what we're missing in this world.
Yeah, I think the whole idea is just to kind of open your eyes up a little bit, you know? It's, it was nice. It was a nice movie, and I was surprised how much I was like, on board with it for most of it.
Same. That's how I felt too. And that's why I gotta say, bum ba dum, it was on for me.
It's on. I like DCOM holding up my cup.
I did not think you were gonna like it. And so now I feel like a little less like weird for actually liking this movie.
No, I liked it. I liked it. I was, you know, it could have been better, you know, but it was better. It felt good after the fucking disaster we watched last time.
Oh, Kirky. But I feel like, Ryan, we need to see, like, we need to see a few more things. Obviously, so as you mentioned before, Andrew Lawrence wrote and directed a very special film.
He did.
Which
I've seen a lot of this pop up in recently, because this came out only last year. Mm-hmm. It's popped up on a lot of YouTube videos and talk about a movie called Money Plane. Should we watch the trailer first?
We're going to have to watch the trailer, yeah.
And it is very surprising that our little boy Tommy decided to write and direct this film. Money Plane. Here we go.
You a gambling man,
starts Jack. With Kelsey Grammer,
once
big cigar in his mouth.
Always a gambling man.
Let's go, let's go!
You bet everything you have. Toss up a coin. One side. You, your family, live the life they always dreamed of.
Oh, Denise Richards.
That's a get right there.
That's a get.
Everything. You owed a lot of money to some very bad people. So I bought your debt. Now you're gonna have to repay me that debt.
Can we just get to the job?
Oh, shit.
It's a legend in the
underworld. Look at how, like, he's so skate-y, Kelsey Grammer.
Is every scene of Kelsey Grammer just in that chair with the...
the green screen chair.
Whatever you want
to look at Matthew Lawrence with his fucking cowboy mustache. Why?
Word is they carry up to $1 billion on board in crypto.
Bitcoin.
And millions in cash. I want you and your crew to take down the house.
That's insane.
Yeah. Heck, might even be a good time.
What? Is that Thomas Jane?
It's the Thomas Jane.
Sit back, relax, and prepare for takeoff.
Oh, God. You look...
They are making some choices with their hair and facial hair.
We have control of the cockpit.
I have no idea what this movie's about, but there's a lot of guns, and...
He's shooting them with...
people up.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
You're dead! Your families are all dead! You, your crew...
Kelsey Grammer's pissed off about something.
Dead! By the time you touch down!
Wow, they got two widths. With Denise Richards, with Kelsey Grammer, and Thomas Jane.
What a get.
Got the and.
So many gets. Money plane.
Okay. Wait, let me go back to the credit. So we got story by Tyler W. Connie and Richard Switzler. I don't know who that is. Screenplay by Andrew Lawrence, Tommy Schaaf, and directed by Andrew Lawrence. Little Tommy himself. Wow, what do you think? What do you think about Money Plane?
I think that it was a cocaine-fueled fever dream. And I want to watch like, it.
Yeah?
Yeah, 100%.
I remember seeing that pop up. Like, I would always check, like, the Apple Movies, iTunes, like, top rented stuff throughout the summer. And that was on there for a while.
Why didn't you watch it?
Because it looks like garbage. It's
what
some
are you
red box
talking
bullshit.
About? It has Kelsey Grammer and Denise Richards.
Oh my God. And Thomas Jane. Fucking, isn't he vegan police himself?
Oh, the vegan police
Milk and eggs,
himself.
Bitch.
Yeah. But that looks really good and I want to watch it.
It looks like something, I would say.
It's a movie.
Why would he? I'm curious of why he made that. Why he decided to make his directorial debut with that movie. I mean, a lot of actors, especially young actors, they start directing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They,
he's also like a musician.
Fred Savage. Oh, wait, look, he directed something called The Office Mix-Up, but also in 2020.
He's a jack of all trades.
And his brothers are in that too. Oh my God.
Well, they're the only people that will give each other work.
What have they been like doing the last like 10, 15 years, these guys? Like how do they get to do this?
So it's really, I was going through their stuff. It's almost 100% made for TV type movies that they're doing. But... Okay, I want to get something started, Ryan, and I want to start it right here, right now on DCOM.
Okay.
All right, Joey Lawrence, he's not doing well, all right? He's gone through a painful divorce. He's bankrupt. And in 2019, Joey Lawrence launched a campaign. And do you know what that campaign was for, Ryan?
No idea. What tell me.
Lawrence sent a message to his 181,000 Instagram followers stating, I want this part. Let's do this. Been dreaming of this. Do you want to know what part he would like to play?
Let me guess. Like Captain America's brother or something. Or something like that.
He wants to jump over that. And he thinks that he should be
Batman?
The person to play Batman.
I don't know how I would do that. I was just like, all right, Batman, what's bigger than Captain America?
So he had a hashtag going to his 181,000 Instagram followers to be Batman. And you know what, Ryan? I think that he deserves this. He's having a hard time, and I want all you decommunists out there to hashtag make Joey Lawrence Batman. We need a better tag than that. What should the tag be?
Whoa, Batman.
Whoa, Batman.
Whoa, Batman.
So go ahead. We know we have millions of followers. Decommunists, decommunon. Go ahead. Hashtag whoa, Batman. So we can get whoa, Joey Lawrence Batman. This big opportunity that he deserves.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're right.
He's bulking up. He looks the part.
I think, be honest, I think that there would have been a time and place where he probably could have played Batman.
Yeah, it was like around the George Clooney days, I think.
I think so. I think he could have been like a younger Batman back then. I think he's a pretty good looking guy, especially back then with this. And yeah. I think he has the jaw. He has a little butt, which you need. You need the little butt chin.
He could have been Robin when Chris
O'Donnell.
Yeah. I love Chris O'Donnell though.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love Batman Forever. That movie is great.
Me too.
Yeah. I think there would have, I think it that is unfortunately passed. I mean,
Don't say that, Ryan. We're going to fix
but
it.
We could. I say we get it, make it happen. Maybe he could play like Batman in like one of the CW shows. I could see that.
Oh, totally. As long as we want Joey Lawrence to be Batman, we are going to get him there. But you have to say whoa when you're being Batman.
Yeah.
He's mm-hmm. just like, Batman, whoa. It's me, Two-Face. Whoa.
It's just like, whoa, I'm Batman. Whoa.
Whoa. Yeah, if there's no whoa, then there's no deal. Because the hashtag is whoa, Batman.
Whoa, no whoa, no deal. That's another hashtag as well.
No whoa, no deal. We want to be clear on that.
No deal on the money plane or whatever it's called.
That's right.
Money plane.
But there is one more thing I have to show you.
Okay, cool.
This is the last thing. I was looking into Joey Lawrence's illustrious career. Are you aware that he's also a pop star?
No.
Well, you're going to want to see this.
Joey or Andrew?
They both are, actually. Joey Lawrence was a pop star back in the day when he had the curly hair. And then Andrew is currently an artist. I think maybe he's more of like the indie country track.
Oh, Andrew. I was thinking he'd be like a DJ or something.
Yeah, I mean, he does look the part, but
oh shoot,
you're gonna need to see this. Ryan's mouth is agape.
This is has to be like Brotherly Love era, right?
Yeah.
Wow, he's on some.
He's on scaffolding with a plaid shirt.
There was a whoa there, but it was like, whoa!
Look at, is he like Bay City or what?
Oh, is that. He's wearing the Philadelphia outfit.
Uh-huh.
Like the city of brotherly love.
Now, Ryan, would you expect that voice to come out of that man?
No, I don't think that's his voice.
Absolutely not. That's
this is some Milli Vanilli
thing that I noticed stuff. Was that there. I would bet my life that is not his voice.
This is kind of a fun video. It's sort of like would be a spoof today. I feel like if this would almost be like if someone was making like a throwback video.
Yeah, it feels like very New Kid on the Block era.
Yeah,
Marky Mark.
It's kind of cool though. Like there's like he's kind of goofball, but. I like these dancers and stuff.
It's just like the cheesiest shit possible.
It is so cheesy. It almost reminds me of the Rick Roll music video a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cheesy. They're all holding hands.
And so this whole time he's either in a leather jacket or a plaid shirt with no sleeves and no undershirt opened.
Very John Bender Breakfast Club look, for sure.
Now that's a look. And almost exclusively with the shirt off.
Oh, no. Was he rapping? Or
I didn't get to the rap.
What is that? There's so much to pull from these freaking Lawrences.
Yep.
Oh my god.
You know what this is? It's art.
This is not. This only has 1 million views.
And the first comment is whoa.
For me, it says hell yeah. Good old 90s.
Why was no one like, dude, honey, no?
Well, they're selling him because he was like a teen idol, right? Like he'd be like in like those teen bop magazines and stuff.
He looks very silly.
That's his voice now. Oh, wait. Not even the whole video. Wow.
That was art.
Wow. I can't believe I went my whole life without seeing that.
I know. What would we do without this show?
There's just so much with these people. We're always this, like, there's something to pull from every single little, like, these 90s actors and stuff.
Yeah. I mean,
they've done it all. They couldn't just do one thing, they had to do everything.
Yeah. They're producers. They're writers, directors, and there's one other thing. It's not a video, but okay. So I told you Matthew Lawrence is my favorite Lawrence.
Yes, he's in Boy. He's in Boy. He had a. He was a. Became a late regular on Boy Meets World.
That's right. And yeah. Him and Andy have a zoo in their backyard with like reptiles and other animals in it, and I thought that was very interesting.
A zoo.
Yeah.
Like they are like Tiger King.
Like we bought basically. A zoo. Yeah.
We bought a zoo.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty tight. I learned that from stalking their Instagrams.
I'll have to take a look.
Yeah, you should.
What's like the biggest animal they have? Do they have like alligators and stuff or what do they got?
From what I saw, it was all like bigger reptiles. Like I think they had like a Gila monster.
They don't have like big cats, do they?
I don't think they had any cats from what I could see. They were calling it a zoo though. But yeah, it's on Matthew Lawrence's page. It seems like he's the one that's super into it. So he's the one that made out the best because he married a Dancing with the Stars dancer. He's still super hot.
He doesn't look awkward. Like those two, the other two look a little bit strange, I feel like.
Yeah, here we go. Mr. Reptile Man Backyard Confessions. We can cut this out. But
I see it. These are my reptile confessions.
Yeah, so.
That's kind of fun. A bunch of big lizards and iguanas and stuff in your backyard. That's better than having, like, you know, tigers and shit.
Yeah. Is it better than horses?
I don't know if it's as good. It doesn't quite, reptile sense doesn't quite line up as well as horse sense does. But I think you're onto something. The title should change it, you know, Edge of Tomorrow style and call it Whoa, Hold Your Horses.
Yeah. If you want that to buy that from me, Disney, I will sell it for $5 million. So that
you're,
Ryan
you,
can
you're
publicly.
You're stuck on the $5 million.
Well, yeah, I'm so going to give it to you so you can apologize to Brittany properly.
Okay, you're right.
So.
Again, sorry, Brittany. Free Brittany. There's a lot of hashtags this week. We got hashtag the Free Brittany one, hashtag Whoa Batman,
mm-hmm.
hashtag No Deal, No Whoa, No Deal.
No Whoa, No Deal.
And also the, you know, of course, decommunists, you know.
And Decommunon, our newest hashtag.
Decommunon, yeah. Any updates on Decommunon? What's going down?
Yeah, I got the dark web started. So I will say it's very dark. It's got a dot address. So you know it's dark. Go ahead. You're going to want to cut that out again because it's a secret. And you can only get it by going through 7 different links. So
scary. Always scary.
Yeah.
You're always getting into something.
I'm always getting into something. That's right. And I don't have any cease and desist letters yet. So.
Well.
Not
I
yet.
I guess before you get arrested going to the sites that Madeline's checking out, mm-hmm. you know, why not follow us on the old Instas and the Twitters.
Yeah.
It's on like DCOM, baby.
And that's on the normal web, the light web, if you will.
Yeah, you don't even need to go to the dark web to find that. And, you know, if you have not yet, we should get, you know, we haven't really promoted the Apple Podcast, iTunes reviews, you know?
Yeah, we have almost 5 million of them.
Yeah, we can't even keep up with them.
Yeah, I mean, actually, Apple emailed me and they were like, Ryan and Madeline, we have a problem because we need to take it up to a 6. And that's going to like Y2K the whole system.
Wow.
Yeah. So thanks, D-Communists. You guys are awesome. Yeah. Stay on your horses.
Yeah. Follow your... Keep riding.
Yeah.
Keep on that horse. You know, if it bucks you off, you got to get back on.
Yeah.
And remember, you know, it's life can be beautiful or something. I don't know. Whatever.
God's painting. Follow your horse sense.
That's right.
Yeehaw!
I guess we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye!
Bye.
We did it. Another successful episode.
Why is my baby blue? Can't see the colors of a sunny day. Stuck in that point of view. What can I do to take your fears away?